Is a GM necessary in tabletop RPGs? Today we'll explore this equivocal question so you can consider which mode is best for you and your crew when playing Goblin Quest RPG, or when playing any other game for that matter. Welcome to Claim to Game, the podcast helping busy people master tabletop role-playing games one game at a time. I'm Clint Shire. I've been an educator for over 12 years and have helped gamers of all levels quickly grasp tabletop RPGs so they can enjoy playing them to the fullest. Stay tuned so you can make your claim to game. Hello and welcome back to episode 9, season 1 of Claim to Game, a predominantly educational fun podcast in which I am daring to coin the word funjucational. It's like that tagline from the 1996 movie Twister, "Don't breathe, don't look back, go for a ride you'll never forget." Our podcast may not have flying cows, but you will experience other delightful surprises during our ride. Don't forget to keep your hands and feet inside the mine vehicle at all times. Here we go. The game for this season is Goblin Quest, the RPG, brought to you by game designer Grant Howitt, whose works include, but are not limited to, Honey Heist, Die the RPG, Spire, Unbound, One Last Job, Heart, and most recently at the time of this recording, Eat the Reich. In the description for the intro of this episode, I use the word equivocal. My dictionary goddess of choice, Merriam-Webster, says this word means having two or more possible meanings, ambiguous meanings, or open to multiple interpretations or opinions. And that is how we're going to view the question, should I play with a game master or go GMless? GMless, as you may have guessed, is implying we are playing a tabletop role-playing game without the assigned person who acts as the organizer, the officiant of the rules, or the referee, the moderator, and the overall story director for what's happening within the game. The game is built with no GM, with mechanics to help players interact and role-play without the assistance or presence of the GM. The GM, for those of you who are like, what does that mean? It's also known by many other titles. This position is also known as Dungeon Master, Master of Ceremonies, Keeper, Lore Master, Game Mother, and Mutant Overlord, one of my favorites. And that's just to name a few. Tabletop RPGs have spawned many different names over the years. If you want, there's a super crazy long list out on Age of Ravens Games blog, which has a list of over 200 as of 2023. And I'll include the link to that in the show notes so you can check it out for yourself. And the first question is, how can you play a tabletop RPG without a GM? Isn't that a key part of even playing a tabletop RPG? Who's going to tell me what I'm supposed to do? Who's going to tell me what's happening in this made-up world? I'm not creative enough for this. I didn't sign up for this. Oh, no. Oh, geez. All right, chill out. It's actually not as scary as you think. But to bring us back, this is not a right or wrong scenario. Both GM-run games and GM-less games have their tenders and toughs. The trick for you as someone who wants to play the game is figuring out what mode of play best suits you in light of the gamers at your table and your personal preferences. And after this app, I think you'll make out just fine. And luckily, Goblin Quest has both modes of play available without a lot of effort on your part. So breathe easy, put down your paper bag, hoss, and let's dig into it. Let's first make the pitch for the GM-less game. A fair pitch, have you, with both tenders and toughs. How can you even play without a GM, some of you ask? Well, the mechanics of the game have to help move the story forward without a person doing that for you. A good GM-less game has a beginning, a middle, and an end that is all controlled by the mechanics. A well-set-up GM-less game makes it easy for the players to generate ideas for what the problem is, what the characters are going to try to resolve, and what happens regardless of the positive or negative outcomes of the characters. And this entire season has been dedicated to a great GM-less game. Hint, hint, Goblin Quest, the RPG. Clearly, it can be played without a GM. Even though I've basically been my own GM as I've been walking you through and you've been following along with me since the beginning, I could have been walking through pregame setup as well as the short game test I played in episode 6 with another person or a group of people. If others had been at the table with me, all of the players could have shared equal ownership in the quest creation, making their characters, playing out the results of each task and stage, and drawing up the final conclusion of my goblin's horrible fates without me GMing them. And games like Fiasco, created by Jason Morningstar, Ironsworn, or Starforge, created by Sean Tompkins, a personal hero of mine and a really stand-up, kind dude, and yes, Goblin Quest, created by Grant Howitt, also an exceptionally honest and creative individual, they have all provided this experience for me personally. Great games, true gems, and work fantastic in the GM-less format. We're going to have a mini Tenders and Tough episode here. Remember, tenders are aspects that I like right away and you can enjoy straight out of the box, and toughs require a little extra work or perspective to enjoy. And we're looking at this through the lens of what are the tenders and the toughs of a GM-less game. Tender number one, GM-less games create more agency and ownership in the storytelling of the overarching narrative that is happening at the table. And since players aren't just actors navigating through the world and reacting to it, but instead participants who are creating the world, the situations, its conflicts, and the resolution, it's a much more collaborative experience. Now, that's just my opinion. On a side note, it is arguable that PCs can still do this in a GM-run game, but it really depends on the expectations of the players as well as the GM's style of facilitation. Are they given collaborative opportunities to add to the world and the situation? Tender number two, the GM-less game lends itself to less time preparation. Most of the thinking is done on the spot or during the pregame preparation at the table. There is little an individual person, or a GM, would need to do to prepare to bring anything to the gaming experience. And tender number three, because of the on-the-spot nature of GM-less games, they tend to be more spontaneous and comedic. That's not always, it depends on the players at your table, but... he just said, but, PETA. Sorry, couldn't help it. The conclusion is... The tender conclusion that I have for you is that if you want a short, one-shot game or a break in between longer campaign-style sessions, GM-less games could really fit the bill and be a nice breather. But the GM-less game is not for everybody, and here are a few toughs that I've even experienced myself. Tough number one, since there is less preparation for the overall story, the goals, the character development, etc., this could leave some feeling let down. A player is coming to the table hoping for a deep, purposeful, grand-scale, epic proportion-like game, you might need a GM-run game. So it can be crafted with a little bit more care and a little bit more foresight. There could be exceptions to this, but the players more or less would need to bring the expectations that you are playing an epic-scale game to the table for a GM-less game. And they would need to uphold that through the actions that they make. And in my personal experience, I have not felt that when playing a GM-less game. Tough number two, even in a GM-less game, the GMs of the world will still try to break out like the Kool-Aid man through a wall. Have you ever experienced this? Oh no, oh no, oh yeah. No matter how much a game isn't designed to have a main leader or storyteller, certain players end up just driving the story forward in meaningful ways. GM-less games could be frustrating for these folks. Reason being, they don't have the ultimate authority or the last say in resolution. They have to be okay with fun and having their intentions thrown asunder when their fellow collaborative storytellers throw their precious magical medallion meant to stop the evil warlord down a jello-filled well of rainbows and stardust farts, right? It's so frustrating when you want something to be cool and epic, and it ends up being silly and comedic. The expectations really matter, as does the intervention of the GM to uphold whatever it is that your players want at the table. So with the GM-less game, that can be hard. And my final tough is that GM-less games, at least the ones that I've set up or played, tend to be more focused on a one-shot story and an experience that's in and out, rather than a long extended gameplay. There are certainly some exceptions to this rule, such as Ironsworn or Starforge, once again designed by Sean Tompkins, personal hero of mine. But in our game of focus, Goblin Quest, the one-shot experience is the desired result. So you want to set your expectations towards the experience that can be enjoyable for all of your players at the table. That is the summary of the tough here. Quick pause on the show. Have you been listening to this first season of CTG and do not yet have your very own copy of Goblin Quest the RPG? Picture yourself pretending to be gross, grotty little buggers on your next game night with your closest friends. Laughs, goofs, and goblins. Don't wait. Enjoy your copy of Goblin Quest the RPG today by clicking on the link in the show notes. You'll be wreaking havoc all over the Great Battle Camp in no time. All right, back to the show. Shifting gears, let's make a fair pitch for the GM-run game. And how do people play GM-run games? The answer to this question may seem silly for anybody who has frequented tables of tabletop RPG games before, because this is kind of the status quo. As mentioned earlier, the game master, regardless of his or her specific game title, is the assigned person who acts as the organizer, the officiant, the rules referee, the moderator, and overall story director for the happenings within the game. They can, but aren't always, the person who organized the game into existence, scheduled the game with the players for the date and time and location of play. It is the GM's role to at least have an idea of the adventure that is being run and the rules and mechanics of the game prior to everyone meeting up. There are many opinions on how much preparation is needed by a GM to make the game run smoothly, anywhere from minimal to no preparation to those who say every single important detail should be mapped out and accounted for. Again, no wrong way to do things here, but the idea is that the GM is giving a starting structure to the game session, direction at the beginning, throughout the middle, and the end. They're the person who keeps things moving along with most tabletop RPGs when the players describe what they want to do and then roll their dice, spin their spinners, or whatever it is that determines the results of their character's actions. The GM is the interpreter who takes the results, positive, negative, neutral, and then describes them out loud to the players and how these results play out in the made-up world of the game. The GM is like the omniscient storyteller, the author of the book, the godlike mover of pieces behind the curtain. They orchestrate the game to allow players to feel as much power and satisfaction or despair behind their decision as possible, while also ensuring that boundaries, restrictions, and rewards are dealt out in a reasonably believable fashion. Now, I hope that I'm getting across to you my extreme respect for anybody who takes on this role. It can be a lot of work. It can also be a lot of fun. So for this reason, it's time for another Tenders and Tuffs. I am sure that we could get McDonald's to start selling these with the right marketing, maybe a little barbecue sauce. But remember, tenders are tasty, right out of the box, easy to enjoy, little effort. And Tuffs, you need a little extra work or perspective to enjoy. Tender number one for the GM run game. The GM run game has always given me a more amazing plot and story experience. This is likely due to the planning and the preparation prior to running the game. The GM can establish truths about the world or the story in order to make the players discover them in a way that feels authentic. Describing real-world truths, or if you're watching a movie or reading a book to find out what happens next, it gives a sense of discovery that sometimes feels absent from a GM-less game, where it's more on the spot, in the moment, and you're hearing other players create these truths as you go. Tender number two of the GM-run game, the GM is able to rein in unruly players that are getting out of hand. They are the enforcer. Get to the chopper now! I was playing one of Grant Howitt's one-page tabletop RPGs during this holiday season. It was called We Three Kings. Though it was not historically accurate, it was pretty sweet getting to take control of the Magi, who instead of just visiting baby Jesus, were coming to save him from the evil intentions of the evil King Herod. But during the game, we had so much fun. And if I could have recorded it, I would have, because it was nonstop goofs and laughter. But that was our purpose, to be silly and over the top. Had we gone into that game wanting to accomplish actual goals and have a completely satisfying, epic, serious story, we would have had more sour than a Sour Patch Kid drinking lemonade. One of the players actually was opposing another player during the gameplay, which brought several rounds of the game to a standstill, until one player finally bowed out of the conflict to move on to the next part of the adventure. We got bored and we're like, okay, let's keep moving here. If a GM had been running the game, he or she could have curbed the player against player action, set the expectation pregame that this wouldn't be allowed so that we could cohesively work together for a common goal, and we could have moved on much quicker. The GM is like the rudder of the game ship, keeps things on course, keeps things from sinking. And the final tender for GM-run games is really for the players. All the players have to worry about is their own character, their own actions, their own backstory, their own part of the narrative. They can relax and allow themselves to be immersed in the world created, or at least shared, by the GM. So the conclusion for the tenders here is there is a reason tabletop RPGs have a strong portfolio of GM-run games. Having a captain, a president, the glue holding it all together, produces in most cases a unique experience with satisfying results. On the flip side, let's talk about toughs for the GM-run game. Tough number one. This first tough is my only tough, but has a few parts to it. And from what I've seen, at least from the RPG community on Reddit, it is truly a matter of personal opinion. As I was skimming and delving into this thread, I saw a lot of IMHO, in my humble opinion. And everybody had a humble opinion about this one tough, which is GM fatigue. All right, part one. My definition of this is that you are a GM who is tired of being the gamer, who is always putting the work of scheduling, preparing, and running the game. You would like someone else in your group to step up and take a turn with this, maybe even alternate with you, so that you can be a player and recoup from the responsibility, time, and effort needed to run a good campaign or a game. Some folks would always choose to be the forever GM. They don't like being a player. And they don't enjoy when somebody else is in charge and gets to make the final calls during gameplay. I am not one of these people. I'm okay with others being in charge once in a while. I would even enjoy getting to explore my role as a player. Because preparation takes time. This is part two. Even with excellent resources like Mike Shay's The Lazy Dungeon Master and his sequel, Return of the Lazy Dungeon Master, giving tips to GMs on how to save time, planning only the aspects of the game that are truly important and impactful, it still takes time and effort. If you are a forever player, think about how nice it is to just show up with your character sheet, your dice, your pencil, or maybe that's all provided to you by the GM even. It's nice, right? To show up and play and just have fun as you are. My guess is that some GMs out there would also like to just be able to show up for an epic GM-run game as a player and have some of those same luxuries as well. I know I would. Since this doesn't happen within my circle of gamers, I've felt that fatigue in my own bones. Part number three, being on during the game. This adds to my GM fatigue. And by that, I mean the GM is required to be a part of most, if not all, interactions happening at the table. They're listening to each player describing their actions. They're playing NPCs or monsters if they are a part of the scene, asking questions about what the players will do next, and improvising things on the spot that they may or likely have not prepared for. It's exhilarating. It's wonderful, but it can be tiring. Being an introvert myself, someone who recharges by being alone, not speaking, these experiences, no matter how enjoyable, are exhausting to me personally. And for those extroverts out there, you may be like, no, 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 feed me more. Good for you. Not all of us have the insatiable appetite of a full-grown bull moose. So I'm going to do my best to summarize the conclusion of this tough. The issue I run into is the commitment from those in my immediate community. Jobs, family, other commitments make it very scary for those who are fully in love with the hobby to want to commit to being a GM on a regular basis. This fear, this hesitation, it's perfectly valid. though it would be nice to alternate GMs, there are some groups where this just isn't an option. There just aren't enough members of the group who are able to commit to that level for gaming. And for those of you out there with GM fatigue, you love doing it, but you want to trade on and off sometimes, this is where I have personally found GM-less games to be such a fantastic alternative for short-term breaks. Prep is minimal. Everyone gets to be a player, and I get to recharge my creative juices in a different way. For those of you who feel like GM fatigue is another phrase for GMs who just can't hack it or aren't true GMs, that's fine. I'm not afraid to admit that some are built to be forever GMs, and that's just not me. Whether you identify with my sentiments or prefer to write it off, just remember, there are room for all types at the table. Final thoughts. Okay, so how does this tie into our current season? How does it tie into our current game, Goblin Quest the RPG? Well, let me make it clear. I appreciate and enjoy both modes of play, GM-run games as well as GM-less games. Regardless of tenders and toughs, each has its place. And this is why I appreciate that Grant Howitt, when writing the game, gave the option to play with or without a GM. For you, forever GMs out there, you can still enjoy the thrill of doing what you love best, facilitating an absolutely terrific experience while maintaining a level of control and order. For you out there who feel that GM fatigue and just want to be a player, even if you don't have a replacement GM for the evening, you can play this bad boy GM-less game without so much as a sneeze or a hiccup in the planning process. A few things to consider with Goblin Quest when you do decide which mode of play is for you. Page 54 is the section in the Goblin Quest RPG book advising how to play the game with the GM. The game was naturally designed to be played without a GM. The way I've laid it out in Season 1 is assuming no GM is at the table, only players. If you do decide to play with the GM, you are given a few options with varying degrees of normal GM responsibilities. Option 1. You can be a traditional GM. This is the role most GMs take when running tabletop RPGs. The GM takes control of all NPC voices and actions. The GM helps walk the players through creating their quest and tasks, stages, setbacks, etc. The GM is in charge of narrating goblin deaths and can describe what happens as a result of the player's dice rolls, though Grant encourages the GM to push the interpretation back on the players to encourage the spirit of collaboration. Option 2, the facilitator. This is more like a hands-off GM. It's the facilitator's job to learn and teach the rules, reminding the other players of the rules if they forget. But this person still gets to play on their own with their own goblins. This was the role that I took when I tested the game with my friends, and I still had a pretty good time. Option 3 is cartographer. This could be included with the previous responsibilities, but if you just want to be the one drawing on a whiteboard, grid paper, or map that you've created for the group to give them a visual of the goblins' locations and antics, knock yourself out. Or you can go assign it to another person within the group who likes to draw. And option number 4 is the questmaster. And we covered this in episode 6, how to play the game and mark successes achieved per stage during the quest to help you move throughout the different tasks and help move the story forward to the conclusion of the game. If all the players don't want to keep track of this individually on their own and on their own character sheet, one person can do it and just keep everybody up to pace. So whether you play with or without a GM, this game has room for both types of play. Possibly try doing both, but maybe not at the same time. That would be hard. Reach out via email to clint.shire@claimtogamepodcast.com and let me know if you have a preference with Goblin Quest, playing with or without a GM, or even just with tabletop RPGs in general. What do you prefer and why? It's kind of like a teacher telling you to show your work. Just do it. Join us next week. What's that? You love the CTG podcast, but find it could get lost in a mix of notifications you get throughout the week? What if there was an effortless way for you to never miss another episode or important deets released ever again? Well, my friend, that's exactly what happens when you are a part of The Lounge. The Lounge is our podcast newsletter, ready and waiting for you to be a part of and enjoy. Go ahead and click on the link in the show notes to sign up today. It's time for you to relax and be in the know. And until the next time we make our claim to game, one game at a time.